Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
Shut up! My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soucy.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soucy. This show is also available on iTunes, and like all of the podcasts here at WFYI, are available on Spotify. Hope you made it through, well, we hope you did make it through another week, but hope you're staying safe, hope you're staying sane, hope you're staying healthy. Hope you're being good to one another. Hopefully you watch some good movies and some reliable old favorites and movies that are new or new to you. And we'll get to that in a little bit. Why do I sound a little more energetic than normal? Because, well, besides the fact that I got through another week and you got through another week, but it's a busy time of year for a Film Sociology regular. And he just brings joy, even in the month of October. Friends, a being, a guest who needs no introduction.
Horrible once again to be with you, Matthew, and all your listeners on Film Sociology.
That's right, friends. Sammy Terry is here, and yes, coming via phone. And no, friends, the phone, the call is not coming from inside the house.
I wish it were true.
So, Sammy, I guess this is going to be a fascinating chat this year. So, how have things been in your world recently?
Everything has been planted in Sammy Terry's realm. Of course, we're coming up to the best time of the year, my birthday, for which they fashioned an entire holiday around. I'm so honored that this year, the entire nation, dare I say, the entire world, is wearing masks all the time, not just on Halloween night. I think it's just the most wonderful time. For you see, this is the time when you can hide who you truly are, be far behind that facade of a mask, and you can have much more fun on Halloween, for you can portray He-Man or a Care Bear or anything more sinister, and everyone hands out candy from 6 feet away. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Well, we should never forget, if you're a longtime Film Sociology listener, I think glittery vampires is even more horrifying.
Oh, my, you scare me so.
So bad it makes Sammy Terry shudder, friends. That's right. So, you got masks, you got social. You didn't have anything to do with this, did you, earlier this year? You weren't in China. I'm kidding. We don't go there. It's all right.
I'm everywhere, Matt. Especially in your worst nightmares.
Also known as Film Sociology here at WFYI.org. So I know you've had some shows that are in the. Of course, you should sing the song. It's the most gruesome time of the year. But I know you got some shows coming up. And folks, if you go to SammyTerry.com, you can see Sammy from a semi-safe distance, from a scary distance. Sammy, what do you got coming up?
Oh, we've got all kinds of things coming up. Of course, as you said, not nearly as many as what we've had in previous years, and hopefully not as many in future. But this year, in fact, on Saturday, October 24th, From 2 until 7:30, I will be in downtown Franklin, Indiana. They usually have a huge Halloween Town celebration festival, but this year we'll be celebrating there with Sammy Terry. I'll be on stage at the Artcraft Theater. We'll be doing the warm-up show at 2 p.m. as well as at 7:30 p.m. when the Artcraft shows the wonderful classic film Abbott and Costello Meet the Mummy. And between those, you can meet and greet me outside, or if the rain blurries us in, we'll be inside the theater to meet you and greet you as well. You can get your pictures taken with me and in downtown Franklin from 4 until 6 p.m. They'll have trick-or-treating at the area merchants and trick-or-trunking for all of those people that line up around the square with their car trunks open. I never really understood that. Usually we used to not tell children to go near people in strange places with their trunks open to take candy from strangers. But on tomorrow, Saturday, October 24th, from 4 to 6, show up in downtown Franklin for free tooth decay.
Plus, I thought car trunks were for your friends at the drive-in.
Well, that does save a lot of money that way, doesn't it?
Only if they don't look.
For all the people that don't come to Franklin, the following day, Sunday, October 25th, I will be in Martinsville, Indiana, doing a full Sammy Terry stage show. Now, we'll have two very safe costume contests at the Art Sanctuary. Oh, we'll have a horrible time judging whether you are the scariest, the most beautiful, the most fantastic, or the most horrible contest of costumes there are. I'll do a live stage show there. We'll do a Scream Queen contest. I may hypnotize you, but it's Halloween fun for the whole family at 190 North Sycamore Street in Martinsville.
Wait a minute. You mean second scariest?
The second scariest. Well, that's true.
see, friends, his generosity with awards is unbecoming. And by the way, going back to the Franklin, the Artcraft Theater, Abbott and Costello Meet the Mummy, shorter and more entertaining than the Tom Cruise version.
Far more entertaining, I can tell you that.
Far, far more. Now, friends, for those, as he mentioned, October 24th at Franklin, October 25th in Martinsville. Now, some of you might not be ready to go out in public, and that's understandable, but don't worry. Sammy Terry is online, in your head, and in your hearts. And you got something coming up on Friday the 30th, correct? Which sounds a lot like Friday the 13th, but it's 30.
Oh, that's right. In fact, we are so excited, aren't we, George? Oh, yes, George. I'll tell them all about it. You see, on Friday, October 30th, I have my huge Halloween party in my dungeon broadcast live on Facebook fan page of Sammy Terry. Oh, it'll be a huge party. We do have guests coming in costume. You'll see each and every one of them at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard. We'll be on the Sammy Terry fan page. We've even got a band, the Graveyard Stompers, coming, and they'll be performing two or three of their horrible jazzy tunes. I know they'll be doing the Graveyard Stomp and Party in the Graveyard to number two of them. We're just so excited to have them, aren't we, George? No, of course, and there are free gifts and treats for everyone. You can learn more on SammyTerry.com. And, of course, you'll be delighted to hear, Matthew, that the new Sammy Terry Kolsch beer will be on tap and available.
Oh, and how does that taste, Sammy?
Well, I'll give you the secret to the recipe, for it's a Germanic historic brewery secret from centuries ago when I ran my own brewery. You see, there was a long story of a tragic slaying of the dragon. And in my batches, several drops and several morsels of the dragon flesh and blood had fallen into the vats that gave it the special citricult flavor that Sammy Terry's beer has. And Scarlet Lane Brewery in McCordsville, they have captivated that secret recipe. And in every batch, they have actual flesh and blood of the real dragon fruit. And you can experience that at any of the Scarlet Lane Brewery pub houses around Indianapolis. There are four open now. You can get it on tap or in bottles. It's wonderful. I also have it at my live events.
Nah, first one's always free, right, Sammy?
It would be for you. I'd like to get you loosened up. You don't run as fast.
Well, you know, you got to keep the bathtub full. Let the brewery know the bathtub's always available, at least at the house party. So, nice.
Now tell me, Matthew, what are your plans for the great Halloween night of 2020?
Well, I will be here, Sammy. I'll be working because the Blues House Party, of course, now is an hour earlier. We will go at 7 o'clock, 7 to 9 o'clock, and then 9 o'clock we have a new show. It's called Small Studio Signal Boost, and you'll have to hear some more about that. You might hear a certain somebody on the show on Halloween night. I'm not promising, but you might want to tune in and check that out. So, but I know you have something going on at Washington Square Mall that night as well. So you're competing against me. How can I compete against 50 plus years, almost 60 years of an Indianapolis staple?
Well, Halloween night from 6 until 8 p.m., I will be indeed at Washington Square Mall. It's their yearly trick-or-treating event inside the mall with the lights on, very safe, socially distant, out of the weather. All of the mall merchants will be giving out all kinds of treats and a few tricks. Oh, I'll be available for pictures and to meet and greet everyone from 6 until 8. And I expect everyone to have their little earbuds in, listening to Matt Soshi's program as they're going around collecting their tooth decay.
Or you can wait till Sammy's party is done at 8 o'clock. I'll still be here. But thank you, Sammy. I appreciate it. By the way, be careful when you say tricks on Washington Street. Just saying.
Well, that's true. You might want to keep your hands in the car.
Yes. Well, it's actually, I'm shifting gears a little bit here, Sammy. By the way, you're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Sammy Terry's on the phone with me. Yes, he may not be in the studio, but he's in my head, and that's really the best place for him. I had a coworker earlier this week ask me about the connection between you, Sammy Terry, and an old music equipment store in town. Would you care to elaborate on that?
Oh, I'm quite sure that they're referring to now the ancient music store, the Family Music Center, which was at 46th Street and Shadeland Avenue. Long gone is its shadow now, cast through the annals of history, but once upon a time a thriving mecca of musical instruments and instruction. Of course, I haunted the halls there, just as I did the Channel 4 studios. But there, I disguised myself, placing pallets and pallets of flesh-toned makeup on my face, my beautiful heavenly green complexion all covered up, just to make a dime selling some stuff.
I think I remember hearing that occasionally, depending on certain young customers that came into the store, that occasionally they could look through beyond, there's a doorway behind the counter, and sometimes your coffin was there.
Oh, that's right. And in fact, Years ago, I had a pipe organ. We was part of the set for only a short period of time. We stored it there. People would come in and get their picture taken with that organ, thinking that there was something mysterious and very morose about it. So, yes, all kinds of spooky things happened there. Many of those things happened in plain sight, and no one even knew what they were looking at.
So long as there are pictures of your organ from the store, so long as it's not happening on Zoom, especially in this current events.
Oh, that's a different nighttime show.
Very different. Very, very different. Sammy, with this being your time of the year, and of course we start getting into colder times, and of course we get into Thanksgiving and Christmas and coming up, you have merchandise for all three occasions, and really no occasion, just for the sake of having it.
We certainly do. At SammyTerry.com, not only can you get those live studio audience member tickets for our first Friday events, the tickets are very limited because we respect the distancing, but you can get some tickets coming up, even for our new Christmas show coming up. And there you'll also find on SammyTerry.com a host of merchandise. Oh, we still have a very few of the Sammy Terry Halloween masks available. We've got mugs and autographed pictures, DVD sets and wall posters. We've got koozies and coasters, all kinds of T-shirts, sweatshirts, hoodie sweatshirts, jackets. It's amazing the amount of things that you can remind yourself about Sammy Terry. And for your kith and kin, for those in-laws and outlaws that haunt your life, get them all Sammy Terry memories for your holidays. Nothing brings people together like the remembrance of fear, anxiety, and stress. And Sammy Terry, being in the heads of so many Hoosiers, like in the vacant head with Matthews, I sense to bring families together, huddled close, shivering, pondering, crying, laughing. So buy all of your Sammy Terry memories at SammyTerry.com. They'll give you many pleasant nightmares.
Hey, now, how did you know it was my anniversary yesterday? Now, come on.
Well, horrible anniversary. How many years would it be?
Mrs. Sosi and I have been together for 21 years. He says, lobbing a softball to Sammy.
She is so weathered and torn. 21 years. Not even Simon Eyes can last that long. I give it up to Mrs. Sosi. Way to hang in there, girl. What a horrible lot to live.
Wow, I feel like Foreman in Zaire. That's harsh. You also have the Facebook page, correct, Sammy?
Of course, the Sammy Terry Facebook fan page. All information is always updated there, and you can correspond. On my first Friday broadcast, when we have our movie show, which, by the way, October 30th, my great Halloween celebration party show, we'll be showing the great Vincent Price in House on Haunted Hill. In fact, my very favorite scene from there, Matthew, you will probably remember. Oh, it's when he goes upstairs to his reluctant bride who doesn't want to come down to the party. And he encourages her by grabbing her by the hair and explaining what she will do. Oh, it's an excellent marital discourse on exactly how you should really ruin your marriage. But old Vinny really didn't care much. So join me October 30th for a great movie. And you at home, sitting there in the dark, with the bolts on your windows latched tightly, your doors pressed solidly against their frames, quivering in fear under your blanket. You'll watch me, whether it's on your laptop, whether it's on your stupid phone, or pipe it up to your big screen. I'll bring you a movie, just like we always have, and you can comment along on the Facebook chat. And there, I'll comment back. We'll have a horrible time, interact with all of the other viewers, and you will have an experience on a Sammy Terry show like you've never had before.
What he said. So just a reminder, friends, Saturday, October 24th at the Halloween Town Festival at the Artcraft Theater in Franklin. There's two shows there. You got Sunday, October 25th in Martinsville at the Arts Sanctuary. You missed that. Friday the 30th, live, Sammy Terry Halloween Party in the Dungeon at 8 o'clock. And, of course, Halloween, that's also on online at SammyTerry.com. And then Halloween night, trick-or-treating inside Washington Square Mall from 6 to 8 p.m. You can go to SammyTerry.com for all the information. Tell them Matt and Mrs. Sosie sent you for what that's worth.
Thank you, Matt. And as always, it's horrible spending so much time with you. George was just saying that we didn't have to go into your studio this year. And when I told him that... George, if you didn't want me to say it out loud, you shouldn't have told me in secret. Well, nevertheless, I am elated to be with you. And it's fantastic to listen to all of what you have to spill out on the public every single week. And I look forward to more of our chats together as we go down through the musical and the film sociology annals of history.
Thank you for saying annals with two N's.
You picked up on that, did you?
Uh-huh. Once again, friends, SammyTerry.com. Don't miss out. If you're stuck at home or if you're ready to be socially distant, who else to spend the time with? Sammy, always dreadful hanging out with you.
Horrible to talk with you again, Matthew, and to you and all of your listeners. I wish you all a horrible Halloween and many pleasant nights.
You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. All right, we'll go through what I watched this week, and then I'll go through what's going on in drive-ins and virtual screenings, and then we will get to your list, the grab-a-pencil portion of the show. The big title opening this week is, yes, Borat Subsequent Movie Film. They told us not to say Borat 2. Oops. So, yeah, Borat Subsequent Movie Film, 14 years later, there's a sequel. That's a bit of a stretch, but then again, I did like The Color of Money. Borat is so far back in time in my life. I reviewed it when I had the show Saturday matinee at WXNT 1430. My God, that was a long time ago, before film sociology. And, times have changed. And as far as some of the gotcha pranks that Sacha Baron Cohen is known for with Borat and Bruno and Ali G, not as many in this one. In fact, and on one end, it's hard to sustain that, especially in 2020. And as I was writing down encounters, in this one, Borat is jailed because of the success of Borat, but he's jailed in Kazakhstan because of the humiliation that the country has gone through. But he has a chance to redeem himself by going back to the U.S. and giving him, in Borat's case, he has to give a gift to Mike Pence. And in this case, it's going to be what he didn't realize he had, Borat had, a teenage daughter, played by Maria Bakalova. Hope I'm saying it right. And Maria, by the way, Baklavova, sorry. But by the way, Maria, young girl, stands toe-to-toe with Cohen and Borat in this. So they're able to bounce off of each other really well. So you do have some of the prank scenes. There's one that's famous where he where Cohen was able to get into a conservative rally that Mike Pence was the guest speaker, and he also got to sing a song on stage at another conservative rally. So things like that, going to the Texas State Fair. But there's ones where they just cast regular people as opposed to going in guerrilla style and making them look bad. But moments like at a dress shop, a barber shop, a fax store. There's still the ones where people probably just don't know, like the debutante ball. The plastic surgeon, they know. There is a long-running stretch about quarantine, especially in the last third of the film, that's probably a little tagged on, but it's going through what it's going through. But they seem, and especially 14 years later after Borat, it's just really more obvious. So you got to put that into your mind. Now, the big question this week is because the film's climax involves Rudy Giuliani, and this is not the first time he's done some silly stuff. He was on SNL. He's done drag in New York, on stage in New York. And, he's got an answer for himself. So I would say, I think at the very least, there's a curiosity's sake to see what he did. And he knows what he did. The problem is, of course, remember when we all thought a certain presidential candidate, a certain president making fun of a New York reporter with disabilities was going to be the deal breaker, or the found tape about grabbing some lady by the was a deal breaker. Not sure if this is a deal breaker for Rudy Giuliani. So anyway, I will say I enjoyed it, and I like the father-daughter relationship that Sacha Baron and Maria are able to bring to this. It's got a little more depth than, say, the first Borat film where it's his manservant. And if you still want some outrageous stuff, there is. The debutante ball dance is pretty harsh, but still effective. It's just not as effective as the first time around. There's a reason the first Borat film got a screenplay nomination, for crying out loud. This one, and of course, at the end of the film, it comes out with the purpose of why the film was made. It says, go vote. So like a lot of the sequels at Pixar, yeah, I had a good time. Not really necessary, but I understand its purpose. It's kind of another sequel. It's not nearly as, I didn't laugh as nearly as hard as the first time, and that was a long time ago. So anyway, it's out there. Look for Borat subsequent movie film. It's out there. Also new this week in theaters, streaming, online, is a sci-fi thriller called Synchronic with Anthony Mackie, where he plays a New Orleans ambulance worker who notices a number of deaths involving a synthetic designer drug. And when he finds out he has a brain tumor, he's going to try it out himself. And as we find out, he's able to travel through time for 7 minutes, so long as he winds up in the exact spot. There's also the subplot where his best friend, who's also an ambulance worker, his daughter winds up missing. So he's going to use that to find her. Maybe she's taken the drug herself. It's a B movie concept. It's this screams B movie, and they tried in a way to elevate it a little higher than that. There are a number of time travel films I think of the Tom Cruise film, Edge of Tomorrow, or you could even say from a sillier aspect, Groundhog Day. There's a fun moment where there's a few light moments with Anthony Mackie, and one of which after he's gone through a few of these time travel experiences where he just dismisses Back to the Future and its rules and its ideas. It's a film's an hour and 43. This would fit into my grindhouse rule. This could easily be a lean 80-minute adventure. But then again, I guess what would probably be sacrificed is the camaraderie between the two guys, and I guess you have to have that. But it's a decent B movie concept, done with a lot of CG, and it's okay. It's worth checking out. So look for Synchronic. Also available in theaters and on streaming. Okay, going through some movies that were sent to me. There's a Polish-Belgium film called Sword of God, set in the early Middle Ages. We have two men of cloth, two holy orders of knights that go into onto a pagan island to spread Christianity. And Well, they don't quite have the same methods. And as I was watching this, it was like it reminded me if you tried to combine silence with the mission. And what happens when somebody and there's a great trial by fire between one of the missionaries and one of the native leaders who is worshipped like a god, even though the missionary knows he is just a man. And they kind of bring that up to right up to a fiery moment. First, it was the two. It starts out as kind of night versus night because the two holy knights have their own way of spreading Christianity. And then it becomes knights versus the locals. A lot of handheld, digital, so that combined with the early times at the set in the early Middle Ages, it's an interesting look. It brings home it gets a little heavy-handed near the end. A lot of films involving religion kind of do that, in my opinion. But it's worth a rental at the very least. So that's Sword of God, as well as, and probably the better of the films I got to see on video, from IndiePix, is a film called Scam Republic. And it's set in Cameroon, and it's two college kids who get tied up in the world of online deception and theft. The African prince emails. One of the guys has a mother who's got a really high fever, and he can't afford the medicine, and he's got to do something to get to help her out, and thus getting into this very dark and very dangerous world of going online, getting credit card numbers whenever possible, and then paying your guy, and the guy gives you a percentage, and if you don't bring his money, it will not end well. The violence in this film is swift and brutal. The film is also under 50 minutes. It's basically a short film. And I was kind of thankful because I wondered how would you pad. You could pad this into an 80-minute, 90-minute film and probably put in relationships and a romantic subplot. I mean, the acting is raw. These are all actors, I believe, from Cameroon, but that adds some of the groundness to this. There's a moment that happens at the beginning that keeps recurring as far as one of the students, I believe Nico, who's on the run. But it is an interesting look into that world of crime and its consequences. So look on IndiePix for the film Scam Republic. My midnight movie last week, well, 11:30. 11 o'clock movie. I'm grateful that I am able to do the Blues House Party an hour earlier and get home an hour earlier. But I revisited Everybody Wants Some, Richard Linklater's Valentine to athletic bros in the 1980s. Set the weekend before college begins in a small Texas university. I believe it's a small Texas university. But we have the incoming freshmen, them trying to put their foot in their spot on the baseball team, as well as having to deal with being harassed by seniors and juniors and other members of the team. It in a way embraces the bro culture, but also pokes fun at it and kind of holds up a mirror to how guys treat each other at least back then. So it was fun to revisit that from Richard Linklater. And because of the death of actress Rhonda Fleming, I went back to the 1947 film noir Out of the Past, where Robert Mitchum plays a gas station owner. He's got a girlfriend, but he's also got a past, and he gets pulled back into having to work for tough guy Kirk Douglas and retrieve a girl that he has lost. And, of course, he falls for the girl that he goes after. Fun work from everybody involved. And I'm a sucker for old 40s Warner Brothers film noirs. So, and salute to Rhonda Fleming. Thank you, ma'am, for your work. Also discovered, and I got this from a library sale. And it was anytime I see a Criterion title at a library sale, I'm going to grab it. But the crime film from 1963 from France called Judex, the story of a corrupt banker and a mass crime fighter. Yeah, this is way before, we had all the superhero movies. But what happens when a corrupt banker is abducted by a crime fighter, and what needs to, the twists and turns that go along the way? It is. The ball gets in one court and then another. I don't want to give away a whole lot of this, even though the film is, 57 years old. You should check it out. And as I wrote, there really isn't a dumb move in the film until about an hour 20 into it. Interesting enough, the crime fighter, the character of Zuzek, is an American magician, played by magician Channing Pollack. And as I wrote in my notes, not an actor. You go for actually the governess in this is the real villain and does a really good job. But it's an interesting, keeps you guessing crime drama from 1963. So look for Zuzek on the Criterion Channel. And I had a major hurdle leaped over. I leaped over a major hurdle, I should say, in the Ingmar Bergman box set that I'm about three discs away from completing. I had never seen the full television miniseries version of Fanny and Alexander. I remember renting the cinematic version when I was a kid. But this was done in 1984, and it's a five-part series of a well-to-do theater family back in 1907. And a lot of it's seen through the eyes of the two children, the titles of the film, the names in the title. And what happens when the patriarch of the theater company dies and the mother remarries and winds up getting married to a really brutal pastor, and what happens to not only the theater company but to the children. And this whole series was 5 hours and 20 minutes. I took a day to watch it, and I'm really glad I did. There are long sequences of performances, rehearsals, the funeral. I mean, I have not revisited the cinematic theatrical version yet. I'm probably going to hopefully do that over the weekend, but it was interesting for me to watch this and figure out where they did the cutting. And I haven't seen the film version of Fanny and Alexander in a while, but I had an idea of where they would do the cutting, and I didn't mind. It didn't drag for me. Yes. Well, Ingmar Bergman doesn't drag for me at all. So I'm really glad I got to check this out. And if you've not seen the televised version for Swedish television, check it out. This is it's a film that it won Best Foreign Film, Best Cinematography, Best Art Direction, Set Direction, and Best Costume Design. And Ingmar got a nomination for writing and directing, all of which worth it. It's one of his most beautiful looking films. And it generally, I'm not a fan of Dickensian hardship with kids, and maybe because it's Bergman's style and it's his camera work. And it's his directing of the actors. Alexander gets the brunt of the brutality from this pastor, and he's able to hold his own as a young lad. So anyway, big, major hurdle. That's because that's a commitment, but worth checking out. And hopefully next week I'll give you an update on the cinematic version as well as the special features of Fanny and Alexander on Criterion. Okay, over at the Tibbs Drive-In, it's getting close, obviously, to Halloween. You heard the beginning of the show. Screen 1, The Addams Family, as well as The Ring. Screen 2, Monster House and Paranorman. Screen 3, the remake of The Exorcist, I'm sorry, the remake of Poltergeist, then The Exorcist, then Friday the 13th, Part 2. And then on screen 4, The Witch and The Craft, all happening at the Tibbs Drive-In. It is Hammer Weekend at the Skyline Drive-In in Shelbyville. It's Hammer Fest. Hopefully by the time you hear this, at 7:30 on Friday night on the 23rd, Horror of Dracula with Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee. And then Peter Cushing comes back at 9:15 with The Hound of the Baskervilles from 1959. Cushing and Lee again in 1959 with The Mummy at 11 p.m. And at 12:45 a.m., Taste of Fear with Susan Strasberg, Ann Todd, and Ronald Lewis. That's from 1961. On October 24th, that's Saturday, at 7:30 p.m., Peter Cushing in The Curse of Frankenstein. And then at 9:15, Christopher Lee, Charles Gray in The Devil Rides Out from 1968, all happening at the Skyline Drive-In in Shelbyville. Reminders at IU Cinema, you can check out the documentary RBG through October 28th, the film Dead through November 4th, Maroney for President through November 11th, Jimmy Carter, Rock and Roll President through October 28th, Nation Time through November 11th, and a special virtual event Neither Memory Nor Magic with writer-director Hugo Perez. That's a 2007 documentary, 7 o'clock on Tuesday, October 27th. Go to cinema.indiana.edu for all the information there. And then Hugo Perez will be a part of an online virtual event on Friday, October 30th at 7 p.m. And then Friday, November 6th at 7 o'clock, the 1920 version of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, all happening at IU Cinema. At the historic Art Craft Theater in Franklin on Friday and Saturday. So in this case, Friday at 7:30 p.m., Saturday 2 and 7:30 p.m., Abbott and Costello Meet the Mummy. And Sammy Terry's going to be there on Saturday, so go check that out. Coming to the Art Craft Theater on November 5th at 7:30 p.m. and November 6th at 2 and 7:30 p.m., The Road Warrior. On November 7th at 2 and 7:30 p.m., and then Saturday at 2 p.m. on November 8th, Bridge on the River Kwai. And then November 13th, as a part of the Real Women Vintage Wine event, Moulin Rouge, all happening at the historic Art Craft Theater. All right, friends, grab a pencil. Let's see what you've been watching. We start always on an email from my friend Eric, who's going through a Hitchcock stretch, starting with the original Rebecca from 1940, which he deemed great. I think that's to celebrate the remake of Rebecca that is just was released recently. Also great from 1940, Foreign Correspondent. So there you go. Thank you there, Eric. Heading over to Twitter, Brianna writes, up, Toy Story 3, and Speed, in that order. But did you watch him back-to-back-to-back, Brenna? Of course, this is Brenna over at Wish. How you doing? Spooky Walrus writes, lot of horror movies this month. Needful Things, The Dark Half, The Remake of The Fly, Escape Room, Fright Night 85, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, Bad Taste, Phantasm, Exorcist 3, Vampire in Brooklyn, The Exorcism of Emily Rose, Don't Look Now, The Remake of The Omen, Jennifer's Body, and Sinister. Brent writes, at Diva Brent, The Trial of the Chicago 7. Thank you, Brent Lee. And all of that is happening on Twitter. Going back to Facebook, and again, you're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Helen writes, rewatched A Knight's Tale last night. And she put the K in parentheses, ha ha ha. And Jennifer writes, you've got mail. Brian writes, John Carpenter's Vampires, The Last House on the Left, The Gentleman, and also binge Lovecraft Country, a must watch. John writes, I introduced Everett, it's his nephew, to the original Dracula and Invisible Man movies. Good job, John. I love The Invisible Man. I'm assuming that's Everett's introduction to Claude Rains. That's pretty good. Beverly writes, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Monica writes, Brian and I watched Vertigo last night. So good. Watching Jimmy Stewart be the creepy bad guy is so weird, but also so good. Darren writes, The Ghoul, Scream, Silence of the Lambs, Trial of the Chicago 7, and Film Gods Forgive Me, Hubie Halloween. Dustin writes, the 1974 version of The Front Page. Great performances at the Met of The Merry Widow, Get Out, Quincy, and Rebecca, the 2020 version. Maya writes, Beauty and the Beast and Moana, but only the songs. You have twins, I understand. Devin writes, Paranorman. Elizabeth writes, Silence of the Lambs and the Beast from 20,000 Fathoms. Missy writes, I began watching Hunting of Bly Manor on Netflix, hoping to get finished up this weekend. Nick writes, World War Z, Sleepwalkers, Hands of the Ripper, Dead of Night, Quaidain, The Witch Who Came from the Sea, Blade 2, Borat's subsequent movie film, and Antebellum. Heather writes, House of a Thousand Corpses, The Devil's Rejects, and Three from Hell. So much fun for the season. Vicky says happy anniversary. A lot of people say happy anniversary. Thank you, everyone. Thursday was Mrs. O.C. and I's 21st wedding anniversary. Happy anniversary, Lynn. I love you. Thank you for letting me call you Mrs. O.C. on the radio and online. Jim writes Amistad. Mark writes St. Elmo's Fire. It was awful then, and it's worse now. Thank you, Mark. I know. Not enough people do. David writes Midnight Special. Benjamin writes, I always like to have a theme, and this week's one is quite odd. I call it How Shakespeare Wrote a Spaghetti Western. It's really how the same story gets told different ways. So to start with Hamlet and then over to Japan with Ron by Kurosawa, that leads you to Seven Samurai and then to American Cowboy Magnificent Seven, and finish it off with your favorite Sergio Leone Westerns. For dessert, if you want some very interesting ramen westerns coming out of the overall Renaissance, Asian Renaissance in their film production. Okay, Ben. Don't forget that he Kurosawa also did The Bad Sleep Well, which is his Hamlet, because Ron is his King Lear, and you also have Throne of Blood, which is his Macbeth. So anyway, check that out. Janet writes Richard Eyre's King Lear. Remarkable. David writes Moneyball. Ryan writes, No Reservations, A Nightmare Before Christmas, and Memento. Kate writes, Haunting of Bly Manor, Nocturne, and Evil Eye. Guy writes, Moneyball, The Original Borat, Walking Tall, Promised Land, and Blow the Man Down. Lou writes, Sensations of 1945, Gemini Man, Always, Sometimes, Never, Moneyball, and more Frankenstein films. Jessica writes, Singing in the Rain and Summerstock. I'd forgotten just how perfect Singing in the Rain is. Stephen writes, American Utopia, Making Montgomery Clift, Here I Am, What the Constitution Means to Me, and Sex and Consequences. Judy writes, the Rick Burns documentary on Coney Island. Not Ken Burns? Anyway. Joe writes, Evil Eye, On the Rocks, Nocturne, Alone, The Karate Kid Part 2, The Glorias, Say You Will, The Go-Go's, Leap of Faith, William Friedkin on The Exorcist, Coco D, Coco Da, Kindred, and 537 votes. Catherine writes Red 2, Ready or Not, the 1995 Pride and Prejudice, the original Jumanji, and the recent remake of The Invisible Man. Mason writes Julesy Jim, Trippy, I wasn't familiar with the new wave. Well, welcome, Mason. I'm glad you got to see Jules and Jim. David writes, old horror films, then Son of Frankenstein. They came from outer space. Rosanna writes, Hope Gap. That's Bill Nye, Annette Bening, and Josh O'Connor. Kelsey writes, I was sick earlier this week, so I needed a simple feel-good movie. I watched Frankenweenie. Thank you, Kelsey. Hope you're feeling better. Mulveen writes, the documentary Toxic Beauty reports on products having an impact on health. Long-term users of baby powder or shower-to-shower develop cancer. That's in that documentary. Jed writes, finally checked out Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. What a great horror film. Recommend to everyone. Also watched one of my all-time favorite cartoon movies with my son, Scooby-Doo Meets the Boo Brothers. Kayla writes, Hubie Halloween. Sharon writes, acting on a tip so it was better... Oh, wait. Acting on a tip that it was of the better movies on Netflix, so I watched American Honey. So long, not much plot. I hung on for something good at the end. Do not waste your time. I'm going to respectfully disagree with you on that, Sharon. You are thrown into that world of people who sell you magazine subscriptions door to door. It's kind of a modern Dickens feel about it, all led by a rat-tailed Shia LaBeouf. And you're immersed in that world, and she sort of gets out. I guess I wouldn't recommend for you to check out The Florida Project, which is also very good picture. Gary writes the 1967 Casino Royale. James writes Rocket Man, The American President, and Parasite. Craig writes The Babadook, as well as I was hooked on documentaries the rest of the time. But which ones? Cassie writes Haunting of Bly Manor, Twice Told Tales, Tales of Terror, Pit in the Pendulum, Comedy of Terrors, Hubie Halloween, Monsters Among Us, and Dan Curtis's Dracula. Aaron writes the 35th anniversary marathon yesterday of Back to the Future on Sci-Fi. Of course, I got hooked for hours. Adam writes, I finally watched Walk Hard. I watched a small movie starring Michael Fassbender and Brendan Gleeson called Trespass Against Us. and I watched Hit and Run for the 1,000th time. Sarah writes The Trial of Chicago 7. Dylan writes The Fog, The Fung House, and The Pumpkin Carver, which he replied, oof, even by my trashy standards. Jay writes Sleepy Hollow and Motherless Brooklyn. One is a yearly tradition, the other is new and was very good. Jesse writes Frankenweenie, Uncle Buck, and The Witches. Matt, don't know if it's the original or the remake. Matt writes the original Rollerball. Josh writes, I watched Robin Hood Men in Tights for the umpteenth time. Patty writes, Bullets or Ballots from 1936. Four is a Crowd, a Shocker, an Errol Flynn movie I hadn't seen before. The Hound of the Baskervilles, the Peter Cushing edition, and Dracula from 1958. Kirsten writes, I watched a Netflix documentary about Leon Vitali, actor and longtime assistant to Stanley Kubrick, film worker. So good. Frank writes, a special favor. Also rewatched I'm Thinking of Ending Things. Linda writes, I guess Ratchet doesn't count. Don't go there. It's like a play within a play. Melodrama meets film noir. Daniel writes, Bananas, The Trial of the Chicago 7. Everybody Says I Love You, Pal Joey, Manhattan, Key Largo, and Crimes and Misdemeanors. Cassandra writes, Chain Reaction, and just started the first season of The Crown and the super cheesy Vampire in Brooklyn. Andy writes, The Original Frankenstein and The Bride of Frankenstein. Christopher writes, 1968's Night of the Living Dead. Yeah, they're all messed up. Chris writes, Sleepy Hollow, The Haunting, and Hocus Pocus, 'Tis the Season. Jamie writes, Corpse Bride, Return to Halloween Town, and Practical Magic. Rachel writes, I watch Confessions of a Shopaholic. Rachel writes, another Rachel, The Mask of the Red Death, Mushishi, Island of Terror, and Red. Steve writes, The Matrix and The Neverending Story. Britt writes, Gods of Egypt, Secretariat, Downton Abbey, Tremors, Shrieker Island, Tremors, Cold Day in Hell, and Sleepy Hollow. James also chimes in with Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Kelly writes, Ready or not, but mostly I've been hooked on Veronica Mars, like a crack fiend, leaving little time for movies. Kelly, it happens. Kathleen writes, The New Rebecca, with Kristen Scott Thomas, who's obviously in that. Joe writes, Sorry, been wrapped up in the political three-ring circus called the presidential election, Congress, and the confirmation of an associate judge. I promise and confess I will do better next week. Joe, it's okay. It's just a list. And, yeah, we'll try again next week. We always try again next week. Terry writes, The Deep. I had a Jacqueline Bisset poster in my room. Explains a lot. Daybreak Express, Comic Book Confidential, The Vampire Lovers, The Comfort of Strangers, Let's Scare Jessica to Death, Daughters of Darkness, The Nightcomers, Dracula AD 1972, Images, and Deathline. Ty writes, I started Estelle on The Evil Dead. Gregory writes, Moneyball and Exodus Gods and Kings. Andrew writes, Horrible Bosses 2. Jeff writes, A Father's Son. Dave writes, I was able to catch Get Out, quite a movie. I only had the slightest hint of what it was going to be like. Although I've been hearing that it is an excellent movie. May watch it again. I do that if I feel I might see something I missed the first time. You will, Dave. Get Out is worth multiple viewings. Eric writes, Joker. Joaquin Phoenix deserves every accolade given. And most of Jumanji. Is it technically ill? Regardless, it was distinctly unmemorable and derivative, though I enjoyed seeing the Dannys. Diana writes, Stan vs. Evil, as well as Loose. Joe writes, The Original Longest Yard with Burt Reynolds on Netflix. Nancy writes, Crooklyn, Do the Right Thing, Us, Moonstruck, and The Descendants. Great weekend of movies. And finally, Emily writes, Back to the Future, and the Addams Family, because apparently I'm all about Christopher Lloyd this week. Well, Emily, I'm all about Christopher Lloyd all the time. Of course, that's my buddy and film critic, not the actor. So, and there you go, friends. That's what we watched this week and what you watched this week. So if there's a PS, I'll put it at the end, maybe after some final words. But hope you got to see something that's new, or at least new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. So hang in there, friends. Friends, And you are, my friends. Ladies and gentlemen, those who are neither ladies nor gentlemen, some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. There's plenty out there. Hope you're staying safe. Hope you're staying sane. Hope you're staying healthy. Hope you're being good to one another. And, of course, don't forget SammyTerry.com if you want to see him in person or see him online. Either way, he'd love to scare you. And happy Halloween next week. So until next time, take care, everybody. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!